Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Freedom Mortgage, dedicated to veterans and their homeownership needs. Visit freedommortgage.com. NMLS 2767. Equal housing lender.
You're listening to The Morning Briefing, and good morning and welcome to That Morning Briefing. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and today, Thursday, October 12th, 2017, one day before the United States Navy's birthday, I remind you, we've got a great show coming up for you. In just a little bit, Joe Schinelli, the executive director of AMVETS and a United States Marine Corps veteran, he'll be joining us live on the show to talk about a variety of issues affecting veterans and that AMVETS is taking a close look at, like the CARE program and so many more. Later in the show, Curtez Riggs will join us. Now, Curtez is a soldier, he's an entrepreneur, and he is one of the faces behind millblogging.com. If you haven't heard about it, it's all about influencing, military influencers, and they have a conference coming up in a couple of weeks down in Dallas, Texas. Curtez is going to talk to us about his career, about everything he's doing at millblogging, about that influencer conference, and so much more. So, a fantastic show on a fantastic day, a Thursday. Well, it's not Friday, but we're getting there. And as we get there, I welcome you along on that ride, and I welcome Jake Hughes into the studio. Jake, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I like Thursdays. It feels like Christmas Eve in a way. You know,
you
it's
think?
The day before Friday, and it's I don't know. It feels good to be able to look back and say most of the week is behind you now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely that. Three out of the five typical work days are now gone. Yesterday was a long work day for me. I mean, we get in here early in the morning, and then after that, I went with Caitlin from our team, Caitlin Kenny, and I went out to the Naval Academy at Annapolis. Met up with the Navy football team and shot some video, and we're going to have a special thing for the Navy's birthday, which, as I mentioned, happens tomorrow, so be able to check that out and keep an eye on it. But I've been feeling under the weather since about Monday afternoon, and I got in here, what, 6-something yesterday morning, and I didn't get home until a little bit after 9.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're talking a 15-hour day, which, you know, back in my military days, that was nothing. You know,
yeah,
duty
that,
day would be like
that was
a,
Tuesday.
Yeah, duty day would be a 36-hour day when I was in the Navy, so that was a little rough for me, though, yesterday, because I'm not used to those hours anymore, and it kind of sucked the energy out of me. It was not the easiest day, but I think what we're going to get out of what we went to the Naval Academy there is going to be really fantastic. Also, on the website yesterday, and Jake has had to step out of the studio, he's going to grab our next guest who's here early because, hey, Marines, they don't get there on time. They're early. If they're early, they're on time. But one of the stories that we have on Connecting Vets yesterday was one that I worked on because I noticed that there was a little bit of a battle taking place on social media between two veterans of very, very different types. Now, one is a Navy veteran. The other one is a Marine Corps veteran. That Navy veteran served for 4 years, went to BUDS a couple of times, I believe, did not finish, so was attempting to become a United States Navy SEAL, but that United States Navy SEAL dream did not occur for him. Then he got out of the Navy and built a massive following on social media, particularly on Instagram, where he posts pictures of himself living what I would say is a lifestyle that many young men in particular dream of living. His name is Dan Bilzerian. He's a poker player, Instagram celebrity, and many other things. He is also a Navy veteran. As I said, was attempting to become a SEAL and washed out of the first segment of SEAL training, BUDS, Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL training. He washed out of that, I believe, twice. So he does have some military background. The other side of this battle was one Dakota Meyer. Dakota Meyer was a Marine. Dakota Meyer is a recipient of our nation's highest military honor, the Medal of Honor. Now, where this battle started on social media was that Dan Bilzerian was at the concert in Las Vegas where the mass shooting, the massacre, the horrible event out there occurred. And as he was running away from the shooting, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. When you've got a madman perched 30-something floors up on a hotel raining down what essentially amounts to automatic gunfire on a crowd that you're in, you get out of the way. Dakota Meyer took issue with Dan Bilzerian's actions there, not because he was running away necessarily, but because as he was running away, and remember, this is a social media celebrity, Bilzerian was shooting video of himself running away and telling people what was happening to be posted to social media. Meyer saw that, according to his own Instagram posts, as, you know, just inappropriate. Cowardly was one of the words that he used. You know, you're running away and taking the time to shoot an Instagram video. He responded to Bilzerian's video saying, you know, this is why children shouldn't choose their heroes based on their number of social media followers. So that Dakota Meyer made his opinions known. Bilzerian shot back saying that some Marine, you know, this isn't some Marine, this is one of the Marines. So he called him some Marine. He used some other offensive language to refer to Dakota Meyer. And according to Dakota Meyer, gave out contact information for Meyer's family, including his wife, who is the daughter of Sarah Palin, Bristol Palin, and essentially brought his family into it. And they were being harassed by some of Bilzerian's followers. Yeah, we're going to have Jill come in here now as well. So, being harassed by some of his followers. Joe, I wanted to get your opinion on this. Go ahead and take a seat. I think you may have seen the article that I wrote yesterday. We have a little bit of an argument on the social media there between one of your fellow Marines, a Mr. Dakota Meyer. Perhaps you've heard of him?
He's a great guy. Absolutely.
Do you know him? Have you met him?
I have several times.
So he's a guy who you actually know. Joe Schinelli, executive director of AmVets, in a little early. And since we're talking about a Marine, I figure let's get a Marine in here to talk about it. As I just recap for people, Dan Bilzerian, Navy veteran, served 4 years, washed out of Buds a couple of times. Social media superstar, 29 million followers on Instagram, was at the concert in Vegas, running away from the gunfire, which is an understandable move. I mean, if you're not armed and someone's shooting at you, although it's not that understandable when he took time to pull out his phone and start shooting a video as he ran away, talking about a woman that was shot in the head that he ran by, and Meyer's response, well, you said you saw a woman shot in the head and ran by her. That's kind of, why didn't you stop and try to help that person? Bilzerian says, well, I was going to get my gun, calls Dakota Meyer, quote, some Marine. It's like, some Marine? No, Dakota Meyer's not some Marine. Chesty Puller is not some Marine. These are the Marines. These are the guys that we talk about when we talk about Marines. And then apparently gave out, according to Dakota Meyer, the contact info of his family, including his wife, Bristol Palin. They were being harassed, according to Meyer, his family, by Bilzerian's followers on social media. So from that point, that's where we ended, basically. Dakota Meyer saying, all right, you wanted my attention? You got it. Let's meet up someplace. Basically said, let's step outside. Let's take this to the streets, or take this, here's my idea, to the ring or the cage for some little fundraising for charity. Have a fight between Dan Bilzerian and Dakota Meyer. I think I could go for that. But, you know, it's kind of, I've seen some reactions from different people, Marines in particular. A lot of Marines are, of course, going to be on Dakota Meyer's side. I think when I say a lot, perhaps all are going to take Dakota Meyer's side in this, as well as some other veterans, a very famous former SEAL, Brandon Webb, saying, hey, I know Dakota Meyer, and if I have to pick somebody to stand back-to-back with to fight against something, I want Dakota Meyer to be that guy. This argument is just, it's kind of ridiculous. It's two men with strong opinions who are not known to back down from controversy or to back down from a challenge. But do you think it's gone a little bit too far when we have people saying, hey, let's step outside? Or is bringing someone's family into it, is that enough for you to go like, all right, this just took a turn into Seriousville?
That Instagram star there, so to speak, is someone to have backed down. He did ring the bell. Twice.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess more recently he's not, or at least that's the personality he presents.
We talk about Corporal Meyers. You have to understand why he received the Medal of Honor. I mean, he stayed in when everybody else was killed.
Yeah.
And he refused to leave his men behind. Now, obviously, what he's done is extraordinary, and that's why he has received, you know, the land's highest award. But exactly the opposite of what Dan did.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan did run away, and you're right. That's what most people would do, and it's probably the smart thing to do, you could even say. But it is exactly the opposite of what Corporal Meyer did, and why. Why, I think, as you said, every Marine out there, I don't like to use such broad generalizations as I don't use the word every very often, but I've never seen a Marine who wouldn't take Corporal Meyer in this case. And putting them in the ring in an MMA match or something like that, well, I think it'd be really entertaining. I would say that Corporal Meyer's quite a bit smaller physical size.
But I don't know about that. Bilzerian's, I think, smaller than most people think. He's very muscular, but he's not a particularly tall guy, I don't think. I think Meyer maybe overall, he may be a little bit bigger. They may be close to the same size. I think it may be closer than people realize.
I think he would have been wise just to have ignored that tweet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had celebrity boxing with the lady that smashed Nancy Kerrigan's kneecaps?
Tonya Harding,
yeah. If she can get in there and box for charity, why not Dakota Meyer?
Yeah, there you go. Well, see, and that was my idea, and you can go to connectingvets.com and find our article on this, which includes some of the Instagram videos, particularly Meyer's, because Bilzerian seems to have removed the posts in question. I couldn't find them on his Instagram page. It like jumps from a couple days ago back to like June. So I don't know. Some people have Instagram set up where certain posts don't show up all the time. And I don't know exactly how Instagram works, but some of his posts have been removed. It seems like maybe it's been squashed. Maybe, it's just over. It is what it is and it's done. But, I think when I was talking to a friend of mine who's a Marine, his name is Eric Kowal. He runs a website called MyMMAnews.com. We've had him on the show before. He talked about the fact that, you know, it was kind of ridiculous, the whole thing. He said, you know, they both seem maybe a little bit out of line. And it seemed like Meyer's reaction to what Bilzerian did was maybe a bit overboard. People would think, looking at it from the outside, like this guy was in a horrible situation when he shot the video. That's, I think, the thing that grabbed Meyer. And I think it's indicative of quite a few in the veteran community are aware of Bilzerian. And a lot of people, particularly those that I've talked to in the special operations, special forces community, see him as someone who's, quote, walking around playing operator. Basically pretending like, hey, I'm a Navy SEAL. No, you weren't. You almost made it through the first segment of training out of the three main segments of training before you get your trident. So I think there is a little bit of that. There's also, do you think there could be a little bit of jealousy? Because if you look at this guy's Instagram page, he's living a lifestyle that I think a lot of people would like to be living right now.
Sure he is. He's making a lot of money off being a poser.
He's got that going for him. Well, and there's a lot of questions about him when you start looking into his past where, he's presented himself as this self-made millionaire where he had almost nothing after he got out of the Navy, went to college, and then started playing poker and basically like put all his money into one poker game and won, and then it built from there. Well, people have found out since then that his father is actually quite wealthy, and there's a lot of questions as to whether his family might be bankrolling his background. He says that's not the case. He says, nope, my dad's got money. He's not giving me money. I did this all on my own. There are other people who know him who say that is the case. Like, this is how it's going. His father's got basically endless amounts of money, started off funding him. And at this point, yeah, he's probably making enough money at this point with the sponsorships and all that stuff. But, I think his reaction, if he had said, you know, hey, in that situation, I was running away. He said he was trying to go get his gun. He also said he tried to take a police officer's gun in Vegas. He asked a cop to give him his gun so that he could go get the bad guy. Okay. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'd like to use some more Navy-centric terms right there, some words that we like to use when we're underway. That's just stupid. You walk up to a police officer and say, hey, there's this horrible event going on that you've been trained to deal with. I've been on the shooting range a few times, and I like to walk around playing war games and things like that, but I think I can handle this better than you. Why don't you go ahead and give me your gun? What?
I find it hard to believe there was even a police officer for him to approach and talk that way. I watched a lot of the video from that night, and those police officers, they were engaged.
Yeah.
They didn't know where that shooting was coming from. Yeah, it's not smart. It would have been getting in the way of law enforcement if you really did have that conversation.
Yeah, and it's another interesting thing where another Marine that has commented on this is Shane Crutchton. He was one of the first people I saw commenting on it, I think, on Facebook, and he is, of course, a Purple Heart recipient, Marine, now a professional mixed martial artist in the Pro Fighters League, who said essentially, like, Dakota Meyer, I got your back. This is ridiculous. And he talked about how Bilzerian said he was going to get his gun and then came back with his gun when the shooting was over. And he was like, oh, you came back with your gun when the shooting was over. He's trying to get the gun from the police officer when the shooting was over. And my thought to that was, hey, did I ever tell you about the time I stormed the beaches in Normandy in 1999? Yeah, it's a little bit after the fact.
My thing is, I mean, first off, I doubt he came back with his gun, because in an active shooter situation, the last thing you want is he walking around with a gun.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. Based on his previous actions, and one of the times that he got out of buds that I've heard of, it was for some sort of range violation. So he was on the shooting range and violated some rule on there. I don't know specifically which one. So this is someone whose behavior with firearms, and also in some profiles that I've read of him before, his behavior and cavalierness with firearms has kind of been brought into question, with a friend of his saying in one that they were worried that, you know, he was going to end up, you know, shooting himself or someone while screwing around with guns. So this is not someone who's operating within the confines that you should when handling a firearm in his day-to-day life. So I have no doubt that he went and got a gun and came back. And he, I believe, spends a lot of time in Vegas. I imagine he's licensed in Vegas to carry. So, you know, legally, he's probably within his rights. But what did he think he was going to do? You're just going to, what, start shooting up at the hotel? The 35th floor from the lower ground. Now, if he had gone through any tactical training at Buds, he would know that that's a real bad move. When someone has the high ground and there are many rooms with other people who are not shooting at you in them surrounding that very small, very distant target, what do you think the chances are that shooting at that's going to work out well for you? I mean, Joe, you're a Marine. Every Marine is a rifleman. What would he think he was going to do by taking that police officer's gun or coming back with his gun, you know?
He showed his inability to be able to think under fire. And there's a lot of holes in his story. And you know, his video of I'm going to get my gun to come back here to save the day is ridiculous, when there are other veterans out there who, as we've talked about here on the show with you last week, there were a lot of veterans who did very heroic things there. They didn't have to pick up a gun. You don't have to be shooting back at a shooter that no one even knew where he was at that point.
Yep.
There were veterans, I mean, we talked about that Marine who went out and commandeered a pickup truck.
And that's the right word, commandeered. People have used the word stole. Listen, in that situation, stealing.
No.
Stealing a truck is like you're going to take it for your own personal goals, to make some money or to get from point A to point B. He commandeered it. He borrowed it and was well within his rights and has been given a free truck by a dealership down there in Vegas in response. We also had the, I believe, active duty, I want to say National Guard or Army member who put himself over a woman's body essentially and covered her up and perhaps saved her life. I mean, there are a lot of people, veterans and non-veterans alike, who did a lot of great things. Whereas, you know, superhero there, his first idea was, I'm going to run back to my truck and get my gun.
And okay. Actually, there's reports, there's a gentleman who says he gave the Instagram star's name. Slips me, but gave
Dan Bilzerian, yeah.
But gave him a ride home. And one of the pictures that he posted the next day and tried to be his own defense, it shows him kneeling over somebody who's been shot and trying to help the person. And if you notice, he's wearing different pants than he was wearing in that original video. So I wonder how his original set of pants there got dirty.
Yeah, that's interesting. maybe they were soiled in some way. I can't even think of any. But it's a fascinating story. And listen, when you are a military member or a veteran, there are certain groups of people you do not disparage, ever. Those are those who have given their lives, of course. Those come first, above all. Those who have given of their body are disabled veterans. I think of people like Rob Jones, who is kicking off his month of marathons today. Another Marine. We're Marine heavy this morning. He's over in London, England. You know, they're 5 hours ahead, so I think he actually may be in the middle of his first marathon over there in London today. So those who have given their lives and those who have given of themselves are in a special category all of their own, and we treat them with the utmost respect. Next comes those who have received our nation's highest military honors. We're talking about Bronze Star with V. That means the Bronze Star for Valor. The Silver Star, the Medal of Honor. People like Brian Stann, Silver Star recipient, UFC fighter, guys like that, guys like Dakota Meyer, Medal of Honor recipient. You don't talk trash about them unless they do something incredibly egregious. If they turn out to be some sort of horrible, depraved human being, okay. But if they have an opinion that that you may not be doing things the right way, that's not how you come at them. And is Dan Bilzerian a veteran? Yeah, he did 4 years in the Navy, but his actions do not fall in line with what I see from nearly every veteran I've ever come in contact with. It's almost shocking to hear him refer to Dakota Meyer as some Marine, and he called him other names that I'm not even going to say on the radio. It's just very, very unsettling to see a veteran speak of a Medal of Honor recipient that way. Simply for disagreeing with him and calling him out on his behavior, which I can understand getting a little bit angry at that. And maybe he's realized the error of his ways, because as I said, you go to his Instagram page, I don't see those videos anywhere of him talking about Dakota Meyer, his responses to Dakota Meyer. I don't see his video of him running along at Vegas on there anymore. I mean, I was looking yesterday, I was working on the article. And again, you can go to connectingvets.com and you can find that article there along with so much more. But really, it's you never like to see two vets going at each other, but in this case, the level of vet, and every vet deserves some level of respect, but let's be honest, there are some who deserve just a little bit more. People who've won the Medal of Honor, yeah, they certainly deserve a little bit more respect, and he certainly didn't get it. I suppose the counter-argument people would make, to be devil's advocate, is that he wasn't very respectful of Bilzerian, but again, I think it's built up over time where Bilzerian's put forward this online personality that doesn't quite jibe up with what he actually did when he was in the military. He's very flashy. He's kind of living that playboy lifestyle. And I think that rubs a lot of the people who did do the legitimate things like that the wrong way. If they took my advice and did the charity battle, we have some pictures from their Instagram included on that story. You'll excuse me. I'm sick today, so I'm trying not to cough as I'm talking through this. Dakota Meyer is trained with, among other people, Tim Kennedy, Green Beret sniper, mixed martial arts professional, retired now, but former Strike Force title challenger, UFC fighter, a guy who beat the current middleweight champion Michael Bisping and beat him pretty seriously. And again, as a special forces operator who truly lives that lifestyle, who has his Instagram page is fascinating and his TV career is fascinating. But he's walked the walk, so he can talk that talk afterwards. Dakota Meyer's trained with him. Bilzerian, on the other hand, is buddies with Floyd Mayweather there, the legendary boxer. So I think it could be an interesting matchup. I think it could, because both of them have trained. Now, I do know that Bilzerian, from hearing him, I believe he's been on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast and some other things, and has had some physical injuries and issues related to martial arts training and other stuff, where he's getting like stem cell treatments for, I think, his shoulder, his knee, something like that. So physically, I don't know how that would work out for him. But again, Dakota Meyer is a Marine. Marines typically have that, listen, I'm not giving up until I'm done. Like, you're going to have to finish me for me to give up. That's something that we've seen from most Marines in the past. And Dakota Meyer, he's a Marine that's demonstrated the ability on the field of battle to take things to the next level and to literally say, hey, I'm going until it's over, and put his life in danger numerous times, which is why he's a recipient of the Medal of Honor. So, Jake, mixed martial arts fight between Dakota Meyer and Dan Bilzerian. Who you got?
I got to go Dakota Meyer, man. He's shown he's got the tenacity that he will literally not give up. And plus, training in MMA is a lot different than you said. Bill Banzerian, or whatever his name is. That's how much I care about him.
Banzerian.
Yeah,
whatever. A lot of people here at Connecting Vets didn't know his name yesterday. Like, how do you spell that? I was like, this damn Bilzerian.
Whatever his name is, he trained with Floyd Mayweather.
I don't know if he's trained with him. I know he's trained in mixed martial arts as well.
Okay. So he took a selfie.
He took a selfie.
I think he was in his dressing room before the Conor McGregor fight. But, that's the kind of thing. Like, so was Justin Bieber. What's your point? And Dan Bilzerian just got it. His height is 5'9", so he looks much bigger than he is in a lot of those pictures. He's a ripped dude, but he's not that huge. So, Joe.
I'm thinking Corporal Myers would have General Mattis in his corner.
That would be a good one to have when you're talking about that. And, again, the fact that he is, he's got a lot of A lot of close friends out there who could give him a pointer or two, but here's the thing, he could give them a pointer or two as well, because this is one tough cookie. So really a kind of fascinating thing. Again, you can go to connectingbets.com and you can go online and just look both of them up and see the ways that they present themselves. And I think those who are enthralled with Bilzerian's lifestyle and those who are harassing the Meyer-Palin family, probably not the veterans among his fans. And I think he's lost some fans among veterans for this latest debacle that's going on there. And, you know, hey, 29 million Instagram followers, good luck. How many of those people would put their life on the line for you? Dakota Meyer, he's got quite a few million Marine Corps veterans who would be more than willing to stand next to him and put their lives on the line. So one of those interesting things that you got to think about there. A lot more interesting stuff coming up here on The Morning Briefing. Joe Schinelli's already been with us, and he's going to be back in just a few seconds. We're going to talk about everything that AmVets is focused on in the veteran community. And then later, Cortez Riggs of MilBlogging.com. Big show. Stick around.
Helping military veterans stay connected.
We make it easy.
We are CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting vets every day.
Online and all over social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Connecting Vets.
Welcome back to The Morning Briefing, Thursday, October 12, 2017. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer on the other side of the glass, and already a fantastic show under our belts. Our thanks to Joe Schinelli for putting his two cents in on the Dakota Meyer, Dan Bilzerian Instagram feud, as well as all of the great stuff happening over at AmVets. And you know, about an hour after our show ends the live broadcast every morning, you can download the entire thing. There are two segments. There's the VSO segment. It's about a half hour or so that features our VSO interview, like today's interview with Joe, the executive director of AmVets. You'll be able to download that by itself. And then another hour-long show, which includes our first segment, which is that news discussion segment, and our feature interview, which is coming up in just a moment. You can find all of that at connectingvets.com. To find our podcast, just go to the podcast tab on there, click on it, you'll see all that stuff. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and other places where you might find podcasts, but checking our site is probably the most direct way to do it. And the most direct way to be kept up to date as to what's happening at connectingvets.com, follow us on social media. We are at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And our entire team that's comprised of veterans or those closely related to veterans, as in military spouses and children of veterans and military members, we are working every day to get the information out there that will improve your life. So just a tap on your phone, click of the mouse will make things better for you. I guarantee it. What does my guarantee mean? Well, it's just my word, but my word means something to me as a 13-year Navy veteran and my belief in the product that we're putting out there. It's great stuff, it's totally free, and it's going to keep you informed and up to date on the latest and greatest things around the veteran community. Things like MilBlogging. Have you ever heard of MilBlogging? Well, if you haven't, you are missing out on some pretty impressive stuff. You see, MilBlogging puts together, among other things, a military influencer conference every year, and they've got one coming up in just 10 days in the beautiful city of Dallas, Texas. Joining us right now to talk about that is a soldier, entrepreneur, and one of the faces behind that military influencer conference from MilBlogging, Cortez Riggs. Cortez, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on The Morning Briefing.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
You know, I'm a little under the weather, but that's okay, because I get to talk to so many great people on this show. It always brightens up my morning, even when I'm not feeling that great. And, of course, talking to you about the Military Influencer Conference and what MilBlogging is doing in general, I'm really looking forward to that. But before we get to that, let's talk just a little bit about Cortez. So tell me about your background, where you're from, when you served, and what you did while you were serving.
So, real quick, I'm originally from a little place called Flint, Michigan. I joined the Army in February of 1997. I enlisted as a CAF scout, went to Bragg for a few years, and then I was eventually selected for recruiting duty. So, the Army sent me back to my hometown to serve as a recruiter. I liked it so much, I ended up changing my job, my MOS, and I converted to be a 79 Romeo, a career recruiter, where I've spent the better part of the last 16 years. I've been all across the country putting young Americans in the ranks of the United States Army, providing them an opportunity that most of them probably wouldn't have had without the military and the benefits that we provide. So now I'm in transition mode. I'm literally months away from retirement, and I'm starting to set things up for myself post-military.
Let's talk about that transition. That's one of those subjects that we talk about here a lot at ConnectingVets.com and on the morning briefing. So how is that process going for you? And I guess the big question that we have for those who are going through the process is, do you feel that the military and the Army is setting you up for success with what they've been able to provide you during the transition process?
So that's like it's a two-sided coin. So if I look at it as if I was a service member getting ready to step out of the Army and look for a job in a civilian sector, I believe that the program is set up to teach you the foundational things that you need to know to help that transition, to allow you to have the interviewing techniques, a rough resume draft, and those foundational skills that you need to sort of establish yourself, to start doing that outreach, to connect with companies, and ultimately get interviews. But, you know, that's only part of it. As you know, there's a ton of us that leave the military and we want to be entrepreneurs when we grow up. The challenge is for someone like me and other people like me that are interested in entrepreneurship, the program isn't really structured to support us. And that's been a challenge for me personally. So,
yeah, and that's one of the issues that I think a lot of people have is when you go through, like in the Navy, it's called the Transition Assistance Program, and a lot of it seemed geared towards, hey, you should probably look at getting a job with the government. It's the most similar to the military. You can continue on your service in that way, which is great for some people, but not for everybody. It wasn't what I wanted to do. So do you think there's anything, as you're going through this process, as someone who's heading for retirement from the Army, what would you recommend? What would you think if you had the chance to sit down with the Chief of Staff for the Army and say, hey, here's some things that I think we could be doing better as we transition soldiers out, whether they're retiring, finishing up a tour or two. What would those recommendations from Cortez Riggs be?
All right, Eric, you kind of like set me up to get a phone call tomorrow, but look, this is what I would do. Number one, I'm just going to frame this real quick. So I was excited about the transition program. I was that guy who really looked forward to stepping into that room, talking to a counselor so she could show me how I could be better to follow the plan that I laid down in front of me. So literally, when I walked in, I checked in, I sat on a bench for about 20 or 30 minutes, and then I watched the Sergeant First Class, that's an E-7 in the Army, essentially go through the process in order to get her final signature, she needed two job applications. And I'm just being frank here. I watched the Sergeant First Class, in order to clear post to pursue her next opportunity, sit in front of me on her cell phone and put a application in for McDonald's. And I think the second one was like Burger King. I may not be exact, but she did that. She clicked print and she handed it over and she was allowed to clear. The next thing I sit down with my counselor, and I didn't tell her anything about me or what I did. I mean, I would classify myself as a serial entrepreneur. I've been doing things for years to prepare for the transition, but yet there are a lot of things that I don't know. So I sit down with this young lady, and she has a master's degree in psychology. My first class question to her was, have you ever served in the military? Her response was no. I asked her, how long has she been on a job? She said about 90 days. She's a contractor. Okay, I can understand that.
Right.
So she asked me, what do I want to do once I transition? I told her I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Her response to me was a laugh, and she said that basically you were going to be one of those guys that come back here in 90 days to complete the parts of the program that you missed. And I'm like, interesting. And so at that point, you know, I had to go into senior non-commissioned officer mode and address her and say, hey, look, you know, this is my plan. This is the foundation that I've already laid, and this is the direction that I'm heading in. So, you know, I've done a lot of great things as an entrepreneur. I would say that I'm better prepared than most to transition. And literally, she sat down, gave me a book, and she just started to highlight things that I needed to do. You know, you needed to complete Boots to Business. So then we started to sit down and try to explore opportunities for me to do that, considering it's mandatory. But at my installation, there were no more class dates. And the surrounding installations, they had classes available, but there were no seats. So if we make something mandatory, we need to ensure that the programs are properly set up and structured to accommodate those of us that are interested in that avenue. Secondly, what else I would do? I would probably consider partnering with an organization like Bunker Labs, who has a complete in-depth entrepreneur ecosystem already set up and established. to empower transitioning service members to pursue entrepreneurship. Why create something that already exists? And I think there are other programs out there that could supplement, not replace, but supplement the transition assistance program to support people that want to do different things.
Right. An interesting perspective on perhaps, you know, maybe joining forces with some of those organizations like Bunker Labs that are already out there. The likelihood of that happening, I'm not sure, but it's certainly something that should at least be looked at. I mean, you know, we've talked to various military leaders. I mean, we're talking at the flag and staff officer level, generals, admirals, and they want to help our soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, and Coast Guardsmen as they get out. But I think that we're still kind of going through a feeling out process. But I think your ideas are certainly ones that could stand to be looked at. Now, Curtez Riggs is joining us right now. He's one of the faces behind the Military Influer Conference from Millblogging. So, Curtez, tell me how you came to be associated with Millblogging.
Are you familiar with the platform as how it used to be? Well, let me rephrase that. I'm sure most of your audience doesn't. Real quick, as an entrepreneur, I buy and I literally fix and I sell websites. So I'm kind of like a a real estate broker, but I do everything in a digital space. So last year, I acquired the property. Literally, I met with the old owner, and we had a transaction. I acquired all the rights to the brand, the social media handles, and the infrastructure of the website. And I was sitting down basically trying to figure out what to do next. I was at an event last year at USAA, and USAA has a fantastic program where they cultivate their own internal influencers to more or less be brand advocates for them. So I thought, hey, look, if they can do it and have this fantastic program, what could I do to bring this to light to the entire military community? So I've been on a one-year road, and during this road, I've connected a lot of dots and made a lot of great connections with the entire intent of uniting the community through content. And when I say the community, if you look at our community, it's extremely fractured. You have the veteran community, which is post and pre-9/11, and they're two different entities, as you know. We have military spouses, we have the VSOs, we have military community leaders, but there aren't too many platforms that essentially get all those individuals together in one room to talk about some of the issues that's going on with the greater military community, and at the same time, an opportunity for them to determine ways to increase their impact. So impact, you know, you can look at it by in several different ways. If you're an entrepreneur, impact may be increasing the amount of money that you put in your pocket, how many zeros are in your bank account at the end of the year. If you are a nonprofit leader, your impact may be how do we successfully spend our grant money so that we're having the most impact on our target demographic. So I've been able to bring this, this event together. I have several key partners and sponsors, and at the same time, entrepreneurs from the military space that are participating in it.
Yeah, and of course, presented by USAA, you're speaking, of course, of the Military Influencer Conference that you have October 22nd to 24th down in Dallas, Texas. So, you know, when we talk about the influencers, we talk about really essentially what amounts to an alumni network for veterans, for people who served in the military, you know. A lot of us can feel like we're behind the eight ball. I was in for 13 years. You're at 20 years now where you're getting ready to retire, where you might feel like, you know, you're behind the power curve because you don't have that alumni network that people who went to a university might have. But we have our own alumni network within veterans. Isn't that true?
It is. It's very true. It's just how do you bring them together to sort of speak with the same voice and address the same agendas? You know, how do we get rid of our internal infighting so that we can all operate behind the same agenda? I mean, I got it. It will never be a perfect world, but what we've managed to do is we have 250 people that are going to converge on Dallas to talk about how to increase their impact and bring about change, social purpose within our communities that we equally serve.
And you have an impressive list. I mean, if people are looking down, you can see representatives from GoDaddy, which is one of the big web hosting sites. Happy Joe, who we've had on the show before. Fred Wellman of Scout Comms. I mean, how did you go about getting this impressive group of people, all these influencers together? And what was it difficult, or were they really kind of wanting to do this?
Yes, it was difficult, but once I established myself and understood the tone that I wanted to present, it became extremely easy. So, I said before, our community is fractured. The first thing I did was from the veteran voice space, I wanted to identify those individuals who had a voice who essentially was active on the internet. So, you know, I reached out to Paul Zolder from the Duffel blog. Me and him had talked about a few years ago, but things never really went anywhere between us. So I talked to him, and as far as a veteran voice, he was one of the first people to tell me yes. The next thing I started to look at and consider was the military spouse community. Who are those respected military spouses that would agree to be a part of something like this? So I found, you know, Jen Pilcher, Lakeisha Cole, Judy Davis, and a host of others that were more than happy to come on board. So from the VSOs, I found Glenn Banton, which has been an ongoing mentor for me, and I found him through Veterati. And once I told him what I was looking at doing, he immediately jumped on board. We also have Blue Star Families who wanted to be a part of it. But my major connector, you know, I met Fred, and Fred basically told me that, hey, look, man, you need to look at this from the standpoint of influence. You know, and basically an influencer is someone that can get someone else to take an action in the digital space. So Fred helped me adjust and modify my tone. But a critical person that's behind the scenes is Eric Mitchell from Life Clip Media. That guy is by far one of the most connected individuals in our community and in our space. And he's doing fantastic things. So through him, I was introduced to Dan Alarak. Dan Alarak started to learn about what my plan was. He agreed. And through him and also his voice at Grunt Style, it started to open up so many other doors. We had the idea for a Shark Tank panel, essentially those veterans and military spouses that had completed the, found an opportunity through Shark Tank. So Cameron Cruz, Eli Crane from Bottle Breacher, and Matt Griff from Combat Flip Flops. Through the various resources I had, I mean, I was able to reach out to all of them, and they agreed to participate in a panel, and things literally started to blow up from there. So, you know, over the last year, I've been able to take an idea into a concept, and it's actually going to be implemented in just 10 days.
And that is a big thing. So those who are able to attend the conference, and I believe you still have some tickets available from what I've seen, not many, but there are some tickets available left. Again, it's October 22nd to the 24th in Dallas. This is the Military Influencer Conference. Those who are able to attend, what do you hope and think they're going to get out of this?
So number one, an opportunity to connect. You mentioned an alumni network. Well, typically, you know, you see some of the same people in the same places. For the first time, we have an event that's created by someone from within our community that has a different audience, that has a different agenda. So I want people to come to network, to connect. If they are a content creator, and that's an extremely diverse topic, you got bloggers, you have bloggers, you got podcasters. I want them to come to the conference to find opportunities to work. I want those individuals coming from the nonprofit space to learn from entrepreneurs so that they can figure out how to increase their reach and overall impact. And I want those famous and those celebrity entrepreneurs from the military community to show other people how they've managed to earn their success. And so those are some of the things I hope individuals are able to get out of the conference. But regardless, you know, we're almost at capacity and we're going to have a fantastic event.
And it seems that, you know, that's the key is getting all of the people together, because while we have that network, again, if let's use just a random school I'm going to pick. I was stationed down in Florida when I worked in recruiting public affairs, University of Florida. University of Florida graduates, a lot of them stay in the general area. They come back for events at University of Florida, whereas us veterans, you know, we've been stationed in so many different places. You and I were probably never stationed all that close to each other, despite the fact that we were from such similar organizations, served at the same time. It can be difficult to get those people together, but how important is that, and how much more of that would you like to see, even outside of what you're doing at Millblogging?
You know, I wish there were more opportunities, but in order to do that, we need leaders to step up, and we need people to be different. We so often we get caught in our own comfort zones that we're not willing to experience something different. So there are several other conferences going on. There are several other events, but this is an opportunity for me to step up, establish my brand, and at the same time partner with other individuals that are committed to changing the voice and the tone of how veterans and also military spouses are treated in the civilian sector and how we treat each other internally.
Now, are you hoping for the type of success that you're able to continue to make this an annual event, have it more than one time a year, have it in several places? I mean, what is the plan for Millblogging if the influencer conference is as big a success as you hope it's going to be?
So that's interesting. I define success Well, let me rephrase that. I already see the success by the number of people that have acquired tickets. We're almost at capacity. That's success to me. The event is going to carry itself out. I'm a long-term planner. 2018, we already have the date solidified. We're looking at 22 to 25 September. We'll announce the location on-site in Dallas. But yes, this will be an annual event. I want to create experiences for the veteran and also military spouse community where we can have opportunities to learn from those great leaders within the military space and also those from the civilian sector that otherwise, one, we couldn't afford to attend. You know, if you want to hear a guy like Gary Vee speak, you best believe that you're going to pay, you know, a substantial amount of money in order to have an opportunity to learn from him. While I may not be able to find that caliber of a speaker, I can find someone else similar that served the same mission that would be willing to give back to a community in front of a target audience. So, yes, this will be an annual event. I'm launching another brand within the next month or two with another partner, another Marine veteran, Carlos Romero. So we're looking at creating entrepreneurship opportunities for transitioning service members to help step up and fill that gap.
Wow, it's really impressive what you've been able to do. And again, kind of an interesting story that millblogging, as I remember it from, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago, something like that, was kind of just an index of military focused blogs and kind of taking that idea and running with it and bringing people together under this military influencer conference. Where did that idea come from? I mean, where did it germinate from? Where did the idea for what you're doing now start for Cortez Riggs?
So like I said before, it started at an event at USAA, but most importantly, you know, I'm a digital entrepreneur. I want opportunities to learn from people like me. There are several Facebook groups that are thousands strong of people who are yearning for information and know-how to create portable careers for themselves. You know, I tried to connect with other people to launch something similar, but things fell through the floor. So the idea had always been there. It was just finding the right opportunity to bring it to light. So, you know, when I acquired millblogging, that was a platform that ran. It had an old conference. The take was a little bit different. But, you know, what could I do to sort of rebuild that brand? I hit some walls with some members of the community. And that's when I sort of, okay, you know, let's leave the millblogging as more or less a company level name, but we'll alter the event to the influencer conference, and literally things picked up from there.
Yeah, and that is a big thing. We're speaking with Cortez Riggs. Cortez is a transitioning soldier heading quickly towards retirement. He's also an entrepreneur and the man behind the Military Influencer Conference coming from millblogging, who's got a lot of things going on as he prepares to get out of the Army. Now, Cortez, if you could talk to Private Cortez Riggs 20 years ago, is there anything that you would have told him to do differently during his career that you think might have helped him specifically prepare for that transition period 20 years down the road? Or did you even think back then that 20 years was a possibility?
Yeah, I knew 20 years was a possibility from the start, considering my upbringing and background. Mainly, I would reach back and I would tell him, one, focus on an education from a legitimate university. We do things in the military to get promoted, so I chased a degree for a promotion, not for the long-term value that it provided. Mm. That would be the first thing I would tell him. And then the second thing I would say, plan for your exit at the start. Plan for that eventual exit, whether it's financially, properly setting yourself up with the monetary resources you need to sustain yourself and whatever habits you create while you're serving, or just to transition into whatever you want to do. Start planning for your exit at the start. At one day, I mean, it's like we're born and we begin that path to death. You know, I mean, that's just me being raw and frank. At some point, you're going to end. At some point, your time in the military is going to end. The sooner you recognize that, the sooner you start preparing for it, you'll be better prepared mentally to make that transition when the time hits you, either by your choice or by somebody else's.
And as we look at you, people can go to millblogging.com and they can see the entire list of things that's happening at the Military Influencer Conference. And you've even got some entertainment taking place down there. I see John Preston is going to be performing. We've had John on the show before. And of course, his song dealing with suicide, specifically his brother's suicide. So it's not just going to be all work. There's going to be a little bit of play down there too, isn't there, Cortez?
Yeah, there'll be play. We're partnered with a local nonprofit called Honor, Courage, and Commitment. They're a Dallas-based organization, and they've been able to make several key introductions. So we'll be at the Texas Ale Project. It's a craft brewery that's sort of that's owned by a Navy veteran. So he opened his doors to us. John Preston will be playing. Eric Mitchell is going to be the host for the evening, and he's going to make several key introductions to us, and we'll continue going from there.
Well, it sounds like it's certainly going to be an interesting time. Now, if people are interested in the conference or interested in finding out more about you and what you are doing in general, where can they go to do so?
So you can find me on LinkedIn. I would tell you that's the best resource. If you're on LinkedIn, I'd probably take you a little bit more seriously than some of the other people who reach out to me. But my name is Curtez Riggs. I'm sure you'll have some show notes with my name in that. Or you can find me at millblogging.com/contact and connect with me there.
Well, that's fantastic. And people should definitely not reach out to you through your MySpace page, right?
Oh, man, I don't even know if I have that. Did you find that on me?
I haven't found that one yet. I'll check and see if it's still there, though. But Curtez Riggs, we want to thank you so much, first, for your service, second, for joining us today, and also for what you are doing for the veteran community. It's great work, man, and thank you so much for joining us on the Morning Briefing today.
Gotcha, my friend. Thanks for your time and the opportunity to be here.
You've been listening to The Morning Briefing on CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day. Be sure to check out the website and don't forget to follow us on social media. We are at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Remember, tap on the phone, click on the mouse. It's going to change your life for the better. Friday show coming up tomorrow, and it is going to be a good one. We're going to talk to some fascinating people as we do every day. I'm your host, Eric Dame. For our producer, Jay Hughes, have a great and safe day. See you tomorrow morning.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.